We're back. The Nine Club.
Let me guess. We have another special guest?
We got another special guest in the house, you know? Don Brown. And he's staring me dead in the eye. It's kind of creepy.
1989 world champion, Don Brown.
You know, it's an honor.
No one knows that.
Here we are.
No one knows that.
And of course, we got Raj. And then we got Kelly Hart on the button over there.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so Don, let's get it. You know, maybe some people don't know who the hell you are. You know?
I don't even know who I am.
I don't even know either. Who are you? But I mean, a lot of people know you. Okay, I'm just saying that some of our tens of hundreds of viewers maybe not, you know. So
the 20 kids out there watching,
the 20 kids, right? 20. Yeah, are a huge fan base. I mean, like Roger said, what was the year? 84.
It was 1989.
World champion,
Munster world champion. Was Rodney Mullen not there at that contest?
I took him out.
Did you?
Yeah, he had diarrhea. I don't know why.
Was that the first contest he like just didn't place first?
Yeah, there's some weird stuff happened the night before.
Maybe some Tonya Harding stuff over
yeah,
there. Did you actually
much.
Like put some stuff
maybe.
In his drink?
Yeah, it was okay. a little roofy.
Back then, what did you get for winning that? What it was a freestyle contest.
That was back when I think before the Euro. So then they gave like 10,000 Deutschmarks.
What does that equate to?
It was actually pretty good.
We're going to have to do some heavy calculations
then, I know, right?
here.
89 was like the peak of skateboarding
yeah.
at that point in the 80s. So
for vert and freestyle.
For everything.
Yeah.
Even street skating was creeping in.
Yeah.
Templeton was like 1 foot and Ollie Impossible over and everything, you know?
Speaking of Templeton, did you teach Templeton how to Ollie Impossible?
No, he used to skate with us all the time. Templeton used to come to our house. I used to live in the typical skate apartment, kind of like this. Templeton used to come and knock on our door. And get stickers, him and Jason Lee and the Andy Flores, this whole little crew of HB locals.
No way.
Really? Would come by and get stickers, and we'd give them stickers, and they'd go to HB High School and sell them and just make probably more money than I was making as a pro
freeseller. They would get free stickers from you, and then they would go and sell them.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they were making more money than I was as a pro skater at the time.
Just off your stickers?
For sure.
So freestyle didn't pay?
No.
But, okay, not only the freestyle stuff. We'll get into all that, but also... I mean, you know, Kelly better watch it today because, you know, you're Kelly's boss, actually.
Well,
you know?
I actually think he's my boss sometimes. So he's running
well,
shit. He's
I don't know about that. That yeah.
It's Kelly Hart. He's like scare of the year over there, you know?
Definitely.
Whoa. Trick of the year. Trick
no,
of the year.
Don, let's not.
That was last year.
Let's not
so get, last year.
I know.
Let's not get into all this.
But he changed
Don.
The calendar, so
okay.
It's still last year.
Listen. Listen, he's even lucky sitting over there, okay? Because of, you know, I did a trick on the stage that was probably better. But I entered it in this year's Street League trick of the year.
How is that going?
We'll see. I don't know.
Did you look
know.
On the leaderboard or anything?
I haven't, no. Some kids sent me a screenshot, though. They said, I voted for you. So I got one.
That's
I got
good.
One vote, I know, for sure.
That's good.
And the vote, and I voted for myself, so.
You got two.
I got two.
I'll go vote for you.
You're going to vote for me?
I'll vote
Thank
for you.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
You might have to scroll down. It was a while ago, but yeah. You'll find it.
What year did you start skating? 76?
76. How'd you know
oh,
that?
Oh, wow.
Lucky guess.
And my brother found a skateboard at the park.
Okay.
Rode it until the wheels came off, and then my sister got a skateboard, and then I rode that until the wheels were off. I don't think I've ever bought a skateboard in my entire life.
So your brother and sister really didn't skate?
No, I just took everything that everyone else had and just used it and abused it.
Yeah. And then when did you realize you were good? Like, did you get sponsored by somebody right away? Or no, I'm.
Well, it's kind of funny because I didn't. So in England in 81 was when skateboarding was at the all-time low. And it was like, it was all
yeah,
about
all the punks were closing. And,
yeah, there was nothing. There was probably 50 skateboarders in the whole of England. Wow. There was like two skate shops and all the skateboarders used to steal from them. So they went out of business. Oh, and one of those stories, right?
Right.
Like Easter Island or whatever it is.
You and Steve Douglas just fucking raiding the fucking place?
Yeah, pretty much, doing? Right? Crystal Palace and Farnborough. It was one of those things that we were like, hey, let's all go to America or whatever. And it's like, all whatever, 15 people where I lived were like, let's go.
How old were you?
Right then, I was probably like 17.
Were there any dudes that came over here that made it as well?
Steve Douglas and Bud.
Really?
Oh.
That's pretty sick.
And then Ian Deacon. So Ian Deacon, you know Ian Deacon from Flip Skateboards?
Yeah, no, yeah.
So he's like, he was always like the ringleader of like all the skateboarders in Brighton, but maybe in the whole of England, he was like the man, right?
Was he doing Deathbox back then or was it like
No,
later?
That was before Deathbox.
Way before, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But he used to work for the phone company in England, British Telecom. So at lunchtime, he would call just random skate brands. He'd like go through Thrasher, the big paper ones, you know?
Right.
Cool skate company. And he got a really good friendship with Jeff Newton. From Zorlak.
Okay.
And and Jeff's like, yeah, if you ever come to the U.S., like, come, you know, come see us. We, you know, you can find your place to stay.
Random cold call.
Random, right?
Oh, yeah.
So then we come, either way. So we got a one-way ticket to to New York and the five-day Greyhound pass. Come out here.
Why didn't you get a ticket all the way to California? Why didn't
because
you?
Because he had the friendship with Jeff Newton who was in Texas.
Oh, he was in Texas. Yeah, oh, okay.
In Texas. So,
so you went to New York and then drove to Texas?
Yeah, on a Greyhound.
Right.
Fuck that.
Oh, it was,
but at 17, yeah, you know, that's quite the adventure.
It's actually 18
right?
at that point. Yeah.
Wait, was that the first time out of the country?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And when you were 81?
84.
84.
September
3rd,
84.
I mean, how was that going out at 17? You're like, this is crazy.
It was kind of nuts.
You know?
It was kind of, but that's why Deacon was the leader of the pack, right? Okay, so I was just like, whatever he said, I was like, I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah.
He was the same age.
I just loved skiing him.
Younger?
He's a little bit older.
Okay.
Yeah, we came out and then we went down to Texas and then we get to the Greyhound station in Dallas. Jeff Phillips picks us up. So I was like, holy shit, like, it's Jeff Phillips. It's like kind of random, right? So we ended up hanging out. See, he hooked us up with this guy, Tom Barrows, that was part of the whole Dallas crew, whose dad pretty much built the whole of Dallas, I think,
and
like rich and everything. So he like set us up with this apartment and we're hanging out and just drinking beer and just living life skateboarding. Yeah. But then to that point of what he said is Jeff Phillips got me, I was like skateboarding and I'd freestyle because in England at the time there wasn't anywhere to skate. So I just freestyle.
Right,
and back then it was okay to like just skate everything, not just one thing. So I'd just be like, screw it, I'll just do this. But he saw me skating and he's like, oh, I'm going to get you hooked up with Sims. And then.
And Sims was part of Vision.
Exactly.
Okay.
So then when I went to California to get the boards or whatever, then
they
Brad Dorfman's like, yeah, you know, you got to write for Vision. And I was like, well, I want to write for Sims. And he's like, no, you got to write for Vision.
And they're like, no, Vision's Sims isn't the future. Freestyle boards.
Yeah, but he was licensed in Vision or whatever, and he wanted everyone to go to Vision. Yeah.
So he was licensed from Tom Sims.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I want to put you on Vision. So I was like, okay.
So he was building Vision.
I didn't really care.
He was building it.
Exactly. Okay, so he wanted me to be part of that.
So you said you got a one-way ticket, though, right? So did you...
You had no exit plan, huh?
Right.
It's kind of funny because I never thought about that when I left.
Never thought about it?
No.
Well, one-way ticket is cheaper than a round trip, right? So you just like, I'm going to get a one-way ticket. Have you ever gone back to England? Have you ever been back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the S thing... What do you do? What do you do? Do you run S and all this shit down the Soul Tech or what is your job title?
Really,
I don't have a job title.
Don, what the hell do you do down there?
I don't have a job title.
He does a lot of stuff.
I don't have a job title. I've been with Soul Tech from the beginning, right?
So okay.
Originally it was Etnies.
Right.
Talking about 89, right? So won the contest where in 90, 91 or whatever, it's some good years too, but then skateboarding just kind of crashed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Freestyle, front visa vanished, and then it was
gone
just
overnight, right? Like you, 15 guys just kind of stopped freestyling. is that what happened? And then it was gone.
They all went to business school.
No, that's completely wrong. It was 14 school. Guys.
14, my bad.
Yeah,
my
it was
bad,
14. Yeah, and then it was like street skating. It was like guys getting videotaped and like piecing three different tricks together to make it look like one,
right?
And putting it in Big Brother and stuff. You remember those days, right, Raj?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it all ended. I was skating down the pier down in Huntington Beach where I used to skate all the time. And then Pierre-André was there, and he used to skate with him a lot. And he was like, yeah, I'm doing it. And he's like, I need some help. You down or whatever? And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll help out. So then it just went from there, and then we did whatever it took for Etnies to make stuff happen.
What were you doing originally for Etnies? Like in the beginning, were you like packing boxes for them, or were you like trying to like build the brand? Like what were you doing?
It was anything. So we had the shoot. So Pierre originally got the brand was originally French, and he was doing the distribution for it in the U.S.
Yeah.
Mm. So then I'd come in and help him, but it was just like him and I doing whatever it took. So
right.
Pierre was like he's more intelligent than I am. He's like smart, like a little bit more savvy and stuff. And I just have a lot of drive and a lot of passion for skateboarding. So like I just get all my relationships with all my friends. A lot of the just knowing everyone in skateboarding at the time, like the Steve Douglases that had all the Giant and everything. So connect with all the New Deal guys, knowing Steve Rocco and Rodney. So hooking up with getting all the guys from World Industries and Plan B and 101, like hooked up with Shoes and everything. So I was just kind of pretty much hooking up all the best guys at the time in street skating.
Nice.
And then at the same time, doing all the sales, hitting up all the shops, doing shipping, invoicing, flushing the toilets.
Doing it all.
Doing it all.
You were doing it all.
Whatever it took to make it happen.
Took, right.
And then eventually Pierre had bought the Etnies name.
Oh, okay.
We created S.
Right.
And then we did Sheep.
How did Pierre buy the... What was it not doing well? Or, I mean, what was it... Like, did they want to get out of the thing? Or why did they want to get rid of it?
What did Pierre see that those guys in France weren't doing correctly in the U.S.?
I think it was more around the other way, is where we were doing all the work and making all the magic happen.
Okay.
And I think they realized that we don't know what the hell's going on, but uh-huh. these guys are doing a good job.
Okay.
So just kind of give them the opportunity to buy the brand. Ooh. But at the same time, that it went out on the market and there was a lot of other brands that wanted to buy Etnies.
Oh.
And then it was a site that, so this is kind of a funny story. So we actually said, screw it, we're going to just forget about Etnies.
Yeah.
And we're just going to transfer everything over into a new brand. Huh. And that new brand was America. Because it used to be Etnies America. We transferred everything over to America for a season.
Okay.
So there wasn't a season for Etnies. Right. It didn't exist for a while. Because it's floating in this, like, who's going to buy it kind of thing.
Abyss, yeah.
And then they ended up coming back to Pierre and going, hey, do you want to buy the brand? We're going to just give it to you. You know, oh, wow. Pretty much not give it to you, but give you a great price.
Okay.
So then he ended up buying Etnies, but we already transferred everything to America. We already had S going on. We already had sheep going on. We had 32 snowball boots going on.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nuts. We had all this stuff going on. We're like, holy shit, what are we going to do now?
So then after that, did you get rid of a lot of stuff and then just focus on like Etnies?
We had to put sheep on.
Oh, okay.
Let it out to the pasture.
Yep.
And we just focused on America.
Okay.
Etnies and S.
So do you guys still own the sheep name?
We do still own it. You want some? You want us to bring it back?
Please.
Yeah, because everyone wants sheep.
Yeah.
Please. Everyone wants sheep, right?
Don't you have to like make shirts every now and then to keep the... I would see random sheep shirts, like brand new ones pop up. And I was like, where is this coming from?
Well, you got to keep the trademark alive, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We got to make some Nine Club shirts pretty soon.
You know what I'm saying? There's a whole section of the Soltech warehouse of just sheep stuff that no one's ever like seen, huh?
Exactly.
But you could just make like two or three, right? You know what I mean? Like, don't you have to see? You could, like, your mom can buy them and be like, hey, we sold them. Yeah. We sold a couple. Right?
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to do with Nine Club. My mom orders some shirts. She's going to order like 144 of them, the minimum.
Yep. Minus four for the promo for
that,
us.
Well, that's it. Yep. That's it. Right. Did you bring sheep back at one point too?
No.
You just deaded it all.
Yeah, we did, we did a little collab on an S.
With sheep, it's kind of a weird name. I mean, just saying. I like Etnies and sheep America. Shoes. And
sheep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I know S created the game of skate, whatever.
Yeah.
How do you feel about, like, being a freestyler, how do you feel about, like, the Battle of Barracks being such a big thing and freestyle contests had just died? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, you definitely, like, I mean, it's like, the same
like,
thing.
Same thing. It's like, Game of Skate is a freestyle contest in a weird way.
Oh, for sure.
Way.
It is. No, not in a weird way. It's 100% a freestyle contest. Yeah. So it is kind of weird that it's like, create the game of skate.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, create the official rules, but it was created from freestylers.
Right. Yeah, but like as a ex world champion freestyle, like how do you feel? Looking at that, motherfuckers, like we were doing this in '89. Like,
well, not only that, they created the game of skate through S though. Yeah. How did that come about though? Yeah.
From a Soltech standpoint, we've always wanted to give back to the community and like create events to bring people together. That's something from Pierre, the owner of Soltech.
Right. That's what skateboarders do.
We want to always give back to the community, and that's when we did the GVR events or the Game of Skate or European Championships or whatever. It's all about bringing skateboarders together because it's like we're one big family and we want to have fun together, right? Game of Skate was just something that was part of that. So how can we do something that brings everyone together?
Because you did it around the world.
Yeah, we did it around the world. Yeah. But yeah, it's amazing, you know, to see kids just come up. You know,
but like as a professional freestyle, like how do you feel about?
I think it's amazing because what I see is like that's. I'd love to be able to do that stuff. You know what I mean? And do it this high versus that high.
You guys should do a game of skate, a freestyle game of skate.
How do you know we don't?
I do the same routines.
I'm saying, do a S freestyle game of skate.
But he still has everything. Like, he'll get on a board, and he... I don't even know what the names are. He starts pogoing and, like, all this stuff. I'm like, dude, where is this coming from?
It's like riding a bike. You don't forget that stuff.
But is it, like, freestyle? Is like, do you have your tricks that you normally do, and this guy's got his tricks, and so would a game of skate... Do you guys kind of all do the same thing?
But there's some really good guys out there now.
Like there's still some new guys. The Killian dude.
Killian Martin.
Killian's good, and then Connor Burke, and Mike Osterman.
Brett Novak.
Yeah. That guy is an amazing videographer.
He's also a great freestyler.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah.
He's really fucking good.
But let's get that together. Let's get a little freestyle game of skate going. Me and Kelly will judge it.
Between
us. You know, even though we don't know what the fuck we're looking at, but we'll judge it, you know? I don't know. You could bring the knobs from Street League. You could steal a couple of those, right? Get the knobs.
The scoring knobs.
Talking about this guy.
Aren't you a judge?
Yeah.
I don't scoring.
Don't you have knobs? Don't you guys use knobs to score?
Like, hey, guys, turn the knobs. Like,
that's
know.
What you do, though, right? You turn the knob.
I forget what the name of the actual things are called, but
I don't care. All right.
They're dials.
Yeah, the dials. Right.
Dials. The knobs.
Whatever, dude. Where were we, dude? What were we talking about? Oh, freestyle. Here, oh, the games of skate. That's games of skate. Yeah.
Let's do it.
So you stopped doing S. What happened there? What'd you guys do?
Shit hit the
fan. Took a break?
Took a hiatus.
Yeah. Hiatus. Well, you called it a hiatus. Yeah. Were you guys really thinking about coming back? Or were you just like, hey, let's just see what happens in this next couple months? Or what happened?
2012 was a weird period for skateboarding.
Yeah.
It was that point where no one really knew what the hell was going on and everyone was just chasing.
Everyone was at grassroots straws.
So put it in context, it's like... Mm-hmm. The 90s is when Etney started growing, and then from that 95 S and its ship just blew up to 2000 to 99, and then that was like right on the cusp of like the X Games and the Tony Hawk PlayStation or Tony Hawk doing the 900 and all this shit happened that just took skating at the same time as like the internet suddenly blew up. And then the whole like I can film my own sponsor me tape and send it to everyone and digitize everything and Gabe and just went to another level in that 99-2000 period and that's right when Manic Marty hit and it was just nuts, right?
So they were just crushing it.
But it wasn't just us. Everyone was crushing it. Yeah. And it was before all these athletic brands came in and it's like, oh, there's a demographic that I'm gonna like capture.
Right. We're missing it.
We're missing that demographic. So everything was just kind of, you know, growing and going and whatever. And then it just got to a point where it's just like the recession hit 2008.
Yeah.
And shit started getting weird then. At the same time, as like all these bigger athletic brands started realizing, wow, there's a demographic we haven't captured. Like, let's just dump money in it and see what happens. Yeah. And it just got weird. So from a Soltec standpoint, we had, you know, S, America, and Etnies.
Yeah.
And it was just something that things were getting tough. And
I feel like when you guys went on hiatus, like everyone was like, all right, we're just going to go like slim down to like just cheaper shoes, like Vans style, like
exactly
$30, $40 shoes. When you guys were like more of known to be like a $75 to like $100 shoe.
Exactly.
You know, and people are like, I don't want to spend that much money on a fucking shoe that's going to blow out. I'm going to spend $30, $40.
Exactly. So you know what? He's way more smarter than you make him out to be because that is exactly right. It's exactly right. That everyone
he
wanted.
He digs his own grave sometimes. It's not just me. All right.
No, but everyone wanted a black and white Vogue shoe.
Right.
So we already had black and white Vogue shoes in America and Etnies. Oh, so it was just like.
And you're competing against your own brands.
We were trying to be like, we're trying to innovate. Yeah. We're trying to move things forward. We're trying to take it to another level. So we're investing all this money into like. And it was just like people wanted a black and white cheap shoe. Like a vulcanized.
It was a trend.
And we were just like. That's not what S is about. Right. Yeah. Okay. But it was very driven by retail. So it's like, this is what we want. It's like, well, no, we're trying to push like the shoe. And it's just like, it became this whole.
Were shops and sales guys trying to dictate what was like
S? Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like,
was it an internal battle as well? Like,
oh, yeah.
Because
S, S is like the best brand. I mean, all the brands. I mean, S, America, and he's like, but it's just like, it was just tough because it was just like...
Well, you guys at the time, I mean, you know, like Rodrigo and PJ Ladd, and you guys had the premier squad, you know?
Exactly. Really. Yeah, Kelly Hart.
No, I would have put him in that category, but, you know, I mean, you know, that's later, but, you know.
No, back then they had squad.
They had the squad. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you create that original S team, though? Like, you put that together, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
But you already had all those dudes on
Etnies. So I'd already hooked them up with Etnies. So then it was just like, okay, I'm going to create the super elite team.
Mm-hmm.
Who's it going to be? So it was like, you know, Costin, Penny, Muska, Krieger.
How did you come up with the name S? What's the deal with that?
Etnies shoes?
It's the first and the last letters of Etnies. So there's all this weird interlink. Yeah, so it's the same as America. It's like
Etnies America.
Yeah, Etnies America, and then you got S, which is the first and last.
Yeah, but what? Why the little? What do they call that thing on top of it?
Accent.
Why the accent?
Just make it sophisticated.
Make it look good. Make it look good.
The fancy.
That was a branding thing.
Yeah. The fact you don't get it right now, S is not your brand. It's like, is this for like?
Is he more of an Etnies dude, an America dude, or S dude?
You better fucking watch your step, Don.
I'd say you're S.
Yeah.
I'd say you're S.
This episode is brought to us by AG1. It is very important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for years I have been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands out there, AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standard for purity and potency. It's also researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their respective fields. I know that I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard, guess what, typically only tested for 10. That's why the 9 Club has partnered with AG1 for so long, because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get your free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/9club. All you got to do in your URL, type drinkag1.com/9club at checkout. Go give it a try.
You said, like, we're taking a break. Yeah. We're going to go on hiatus.
Yeah.
Were you guys really thinking that? Or did you say that maybe just to hopefully maybe come back? Or you really guys were...
You're like, fuck, we should go out of business. Or like, let's just save this bullshit in hopes...
Yeah, like, well, you guys had a strategy. You guys had a plan. You guys had a strategy.
Oh, yeah,
or
it's
like
sure.
Maybe when, or when do we execute this plan? Or
well,
no, was it a...
Well, the first thing was like, just, it was like, because we called it the creative retreat. Just like,
yeah,
let's pull back.
That's what you were calling it, right. The creative retreat. Yeah.
And
right.
It's more like, we knew that the S brand had more to offer than where it currently was in this weird cycle of skateboarding.
Okay.
So we were probably the first brand ever to actually do that.
Yeah.
I don't know there's any brand.
I can't think
that
of
that is just like, you know what?
Right.
Yeah. Shit's not cool right now. Let's pull it back.
Were you guys
right?
Like creative retreat? Were you guys in the desert doing peyote? Or like what were you guys how creative were you guys getting? What was this? What were we doing?
You'll see the video coming
okay,
out soon.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right.
It was tough. It was really tough, right? Emotionally tough.
Yeah.
Very emotional. Because we're not like, again, it's like Pierre is... He's the owner of the Soltech, and he's not just creating brands. Like, hey, let's build a brand and sell it off like DC or wherever else. Yeah. It's like
he's doing it.
We're in skateboarding for life. Right. This is something that we're here. We're not just trying to come in part time and just like let's
make some money,
and move on. It's like
you guys supported skateboarding from day one.
Yeah,
like
we used to hook up day one. I used to give day one shoes. I love that guy. Best guy ever. He's still one of my favorites.
When I had my shop in Boston, you used to give me shoes. You know, like I was like nobody, but like a dude working a shop, whatever. And you're like, oh, dude, like I'll send you some shoes.
But it was just like, it's all about the scene, right? Like skateboarding is one big family. And Absolutely. That's what's the beauty of it. And that's why I love it so much, is because it is one big global family. And that's why when we came from England and we were accepted.
Yeah.
By other parts of the skate family, and they just let us, they helped us.
Right, yeah. right.
You know, and we helped them, whatever, and say, you're there for each other.
Yeah.
Now skateboarding is on a whole other level. I don't know if it's the same as it was.
I think it is, but it's just a little weird.
But it could be because it's like, there's just, things are different now, right? There's more external money coming in.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love that external money coming in because I want skateboarders to make as much money as they can. They deserve every single penny they can. It's just that thing, but it's the challenges is when those bigger companies start trying to dictate what they need to be doing or homogenizing the whole industry to their world or trying to lead them into a certain direction. This is like, I love, wherever it goes, like skateboarding is always going to exist and it's always going to roll. And it's, to me, as long as skateboarders are really in control of it, and you know, then it's going to roll in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It just scares me sometimes when there's some of these bigger guys coming in, and they're just like, just really like
skateboarders coming up now. That's all they know is the corporate stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So you could be influenced. Kids could be influenced by that and not know the direction that like you want it to go.
Yeah.
You know, they see the direction that the corporate wanted to go. You know, or try to influence
but
it.
But
to
the
go,
crazy
right?
thing is like Nike is kind of doing it right. Like they have a lot of like legit dudes like working for them
that
like,
grew Adidas, up in, you know.
Yeah, same with Adidas as well. Like Converse. Like they all have like legit dudes who are making it happen. They just have the money to do rad shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But the difference is right. So every penny we make goes back into skateboarding.
Yeah.
Right. And as a brand for these other brands, it's a very small percentage.
Yeah.
Skateboarding is like.
Yeah, it's a blip on the radar.
Yeah, and if skateboarding vanished tomorrow, it wouldn't make any difference, right? And we've seen it too, where in other sports that they might have,
right.
they say, oh, this doesn't make sense. Like, it's not making money. Yeah, snowboard boots, right. Surfing, like, yeah. Let's cut. Yeah. Like, it's like, and like, if skateboarding dies for us, we're done.
Right.
I'm working at a supermarket.
Because that's what you're catered to.
Yeah.
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 I'm glad you said catering, because, like, catering would probably be my future. Organizing, like, baguettes and shit. But either way, it's just the way it is. At the end of the day, it's like the way, like, it's skateboarding, right?
Well, I trip out because you've seen skateboarding go every which way to the mat. Like, imagine seeing it now through his eyes.
Yeah.
From when it first started.
Yeah.
That's insane. I wouldn't even know.
I'm sure people say to you, like, oh, dude, skateboarding's so crazy right now. You're like, dude, this is every goddamn day. This is completely normal. What are you talking about?
In the 80s, you know what I mean? It's like, if you saw anyone wearing Vans in England, mm-hmm. it's like, they were 100% a skateboarder, and you could go and talk to them.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so then you guys decided to bring S back. What was that? Was it the timing thing? Were you like, okay, this is the time to do it? Or what was the discussion there? How did that come about?
It had been a couple of years.
Yeah.
But obviously everyone loves S, right?
Were people asking for it back? They were all the asking time? Like, it never died out?
There was
like, people just didn't forget about it?
No, people are creating petitions. They were just like, bring S back. Oh, yeah. There's like all these social media accounts. It's like S please. And like, just there's tons of them. Like, just like, sign, like,
wow.
We want S back.
That must feel good. You know?
Oh, for sure. And it's like, that's the thing, is it's so beautiful because
if you go away for a little while and people are still talking about you, I mean, that's exactly. Incredible.
Yeah.
Should we stop doing the show for a bit?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Actually, if we stop doing the show, people will just fucking forget the next day.
They're like, what?
Yeah. Wasn't there something on Mondays? I don't know. Whatever. I'm just going to make my coffee.
But you know what's crazy is there's people I see all the time now. They tag us and stuff on the S post, and it's like they have S tattoos on their body. There's one guy that has an S tattoo on his like face.
Okay.
Tons on the ankle.
Damn.
Arms. But you know, but anytime you see someone that tattoos a brand on their body, right. You feel like, well,
Chris
Markovich.
Can't let this guy down.
Yeah, that's true.
Or this person. It's crazy though. There's a lot of people out there with S tattoos, and it's all because of you that we're back.
That's right. That's right.
But no, it's just that overall, it's like that overall skate community. They just, S is a special thing, you know. So like,
definitely.
We've done a lot for skateboarding, and it's like we put the brand on hiatus.
Right.
Because the timing, but we had so much demand. What we did is Japan specifically, they said, hey, we need the shoes, whatever it takes, whatever. So we're just we're going to make some shoes. There. So we did the OG XLs.
Okay. That shoe.
Oops, sorry. And it was crazy because this thing's a beast.
Right.
Right?
It's and that beast, was only what? How long
it
ago?
It didn't used to be a beast, but it's a beast.
How
now.
Long ago was that, though, that they asked for it?
2013, they were asking.
2013.
Yeah,
so four years ago.
Yeah, so we made a run of shoes for them, and they became the number one selling shoe. They all sold out, and they became the number one shoe in Japan in skate shops.
Wow.
We just knew. I mean, we love S. It's not like we were going to like put on hiatus or whatever forever. So it's just like... so then we just did
the Japan.
So let's drop it. So on... it's funny, because we did it on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
In 2014, and
wow, it's been back that for a couple of years now, huh?
Yeah. Mm. So we just originally did packs, and we just did 100 stores, and we just everything went well, and then we just started like learning like what do people really want from the brand again.
Okay.
We quickly learned what worked and
what
didn't.
A good way of doing it.
Yeah, and it was more about what the skiers want.
So it pretty much brought you back to your roots.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and then it just built from there, and then we just built on everything, and then there's definitely a lot of requests, and just want to thank all the S fans out there for all the great feedback. We get a lot of, we're very engaged with the... We listen and we reply and we love everyone that likes or comments on S. Right. And we've actually answered every single kid that's ever like thrown a question at us.
Really?
And it's funny because it's like, just from a social media standpoint, so... kind of a random story, right? Yeah. So a while ago, the Adidas canceled their Christmas party up in Portland.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, and I saw a press release. So what we did is we threw a Christmas party for them. So we advertised in the Portland magazine. It's like, everyone should have a Christmas party. We're going to have a Christmas party for you guys. So we invited all of the Adidas employees to have a Christmas party at
Was Adidas like, what the hell are those guys doing?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. It was kind of random. So I got an interview on CNBC and all this stuff because they're like, this is pretty cool that you guys are this small little brand and you are doing a Christmas party for this multi-billion dollar corporation. And it was just kind of this one thing.
Why did you guys do, like, was it a...
You guys just had money to throw away?
Was it a joke?
No, it was at a dive bar called My Father's Place, okay, right by Burnside's. We had the whole Burnside posse there. Wow. But then like, Adidas found out, and then like Herbert Heiner at the time is like, you know what, anyone who's goes that? There, you're going to get, he's the president of Adidas at the time. And he was like, you know what, anyone who turns up, they're going to get fired, like pushed it down, right? But there's still Adidas people that were there, and they were so stoked that we did it. And we just had, and you know, PBR, and it was just like, Burnside crew were there. It was just a good time. And I think Yahoo or someone else had their party canceled, so they all turned up. But the point was, is that we just like, this is skateboarding. We're all family. That was the whole thing. It's like, we're the small guys here, but it's the end of the day. You cancel your Christmas party, let's all get together and have a good time. Yeah.
Right.
But it was also, I sent a friend request to Herbert Heiner, who's the president of Adidas, and he never replied. He was like, never accepted me as a friend. And I always think about that because I'm always like, you know what, now I feel like I should accept everyone as a friend.
Yeah, okay.
Because I don't want to be a dick. So I always look, if they're a skateboarder, I'll accept them.
Right.
But if it's some weird dude from whatever.
Well, do you think the president of Adidas is actually skateboarding?
Oh, no. Right. But I think a year later, like, he accepted the request. Executive
what, on Instagram
thing.
Or Facebook?
That was on Facebook at the time.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Was that your idea, though, to do the Christmas party?
Yeah, hell yeah. I was like, you know what? Everyone needs to have a Christmas party.
That's amazing.
That's tight.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Did you like this? I know you said you'd like help design on some of the shoes back then. Like, which ones did you?
So this is the whole thing back in the day. It's like again, it's like me and Pierre doing whatever it took. So it's like, yeah, shoe design.
I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but
we'll do stuff. So
when you were doing shoe design, were you just kind of like sketching on a piece of paper, then handing it off to someone to like go do on cork or fucking whatever?
Cork.
The other design program called back in the day.
No, it's just like Pierre was really good. Pierre's like super talented, like sketching and like he's really
technical
good.
Design. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like more, I don't know, just seeing the influences of what the riders wanted, like what they skated and, but also what they would like to wear after skating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then combining the two.
Like chill shoes and whatever else.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of how that whole deal was back in the day, because we'd see that a lot of the S guys would come in wearing like just like basketball shoes
like
or whatever.
Air Maxes and whatever else.
Yeah. And even like Vassal, do you know what I mean? It's like his culture wasn't, it was like, how do you make like the his influences
that Jordan
in footwear?
Or whatever else, yeah.
I don't want to say it, but how do you take those influences and make it skateable? So that's how he would do that. The custom one, to your point, sorry.
No, yeah.
was
yeah.
something that was really cool that I got to design with Eric.
Okay.
And that was something that was kind of, so him and Rick Howard.
Yeah.
So not many people know that Rick Howard was on S for like
a week.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then.
You pretty much designed his first DC shoe, huh?
No, that shoe, that was actually his design that he gave to me that I had.
That was originally, was originally going to be an S shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he moved on.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we have an S Rick Howard shoe that was going to be made, but then he ended up going to DC. And it was like.
Was there ever made a sample made of it?
No.
No?
No.
But that, just, it's like the same shoe.
Yeah.
It is literally the same shoe with just an S logo on it.
Yeah. But no disrespect to DC, because that's another story. We actually created DC, but. The S shoe would have been way better.
Oh, I definitely would have skated those ones for sure.
I know. But not many people know this, but actually Ken Block used to do like the 8-ball clothing and all that stuff. Yeah. He came to us to do shoes.
Oh.
So we actually created the first DC shoes.
Oh, wow.
Those Chuck Taylor looking ones?
No. No, there was the earlier, the first
versions.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he pretty much like hired you guys or like...
So we made them and then we'd give them a royalty. Like, how did that work? I can't remember right now. But whatever it is, we created the first shoes for
him.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Interesting. So the custom one, like Rick Howard and Eric were both into like volleyball style shoes, which were gum sole double cup shoes.
Mm, okay.
But they had like the suede and the mesh and everything.
Gotcha, right.
So I was trying to work with Eric on like designing the shoe. And then randomly, I swear this is like... what happens in my life, shit just drops on my door, something like, oh shit.
Yeah.
There, a box appeared outside and it was like a box of shoes from Troop, which is a 80s, 90s, like, okay. shoe brand. Oh. Right? I don't know if you've heard of them. Yeah. But I was like, I don't know. It wasn't addressed to me, but I was like, I'm going to open this box up.
Wait, this was at your house?
No, it was at work.
I thought maybe Amazon had dropped it off by mistake or something.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And I was just like looking through this album, and I saw the shoe that had this E kind of shape on the side, and I'm like, wow. It's like, this makes sense, right?
Right,
I just put this little E on the side for Eric, and then we'd put the mesh.
Oh,
that's. And then we'd put the mesh in the double cup, and then Eric kind of added, you know, the little details on there. And it's like, that's how the custom won. So that's like the shoe that I was like, feel proud about. Obviously, I had inspiration from something else, but.
It's right there, right? I think it's the most iconic S shoe that there was, you know? That's the most iconic.
It is.
You know?
Yeah. But this isn't the first version.
Yeah, that came, what is it, like 2004 right there?
Yeah, this is the newer one.
The first one had blue, like...
But the first ones had more gum.
EVA.
And then the first one that had the first, right, the air pocket. Oh. So S was the first shoe brand to have like an S.
Okay.
Speaking of the air pocket, so like Nike had a patent on it, whatever, right?
Yep.
And the patent ran out, and you guys jumped on it.
How do you know this shit?
I'm a fucking nerd.
How do you know this stuff? Yeah, so no one else in skateboarding that jumped on the fact that the patent ran out.
Yeah.
Right.
So we created a shirt.
Did Nike know that the patent ran, or did they just kind of...
No, there's nothing you can do, because after a certain period...
It's after 10 years or whatever, right?
Yeah, 5, 10 years.
Oh, they can't renew it?
Yeah, maybe 10 years. I don't even know.
So you guys jumped on it.
Yeah, but it wasn't that shoe. It's actually a shoe called the Air Aura.
Okay.
And it was like the first skate shoe ever to have an air pocket. That shoe is amazing.
Sick.
People still ask for that, right?
Yeah, they ask for a lot of shoes.
So you guys did the air pockets, and then but other brands started doing the air pockets as well.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Okay. They are really
copying us.
Damn.
Who was the first person to do a stash pocket in the tongue? I mean, I know Kangaroo did it.
Yeah, Kangaroo did it first, but we just did it like the Musker. We did the Musker shoe.
Right.
The Musker shoe. That shoe was so good.
Now, Dave.
Sorry.
God damn it, Kelly.
He's got the shoe over there.
That thing's so big, almost made me fall over.
Oh, my God. You said it's all the women.
Yeah.
Now, did Chad bring that idea to you guys? Or, like, was that something?
Oh, Chad's like, so, actually, I have a design. I have Chad's first shoe that was very inspired by another, like, a kind of shell toe-y kind of style. Mm-hmm. But then we had, at that same time, we had an amazing designer, one of the original guys from, who did the original Etnie stuff in France, come join us. Frank Boystale.
Okay.
And he like took whole shoe design to a whole nother level, but he worked with Chad on this shoe and helped put it together. But that shoe is like other level. That was the first shoe to break the
cinder block.
Yeah. But it was the first shoe that really broke the $100 barrier.
Oh.
And I remember everyone kind of freaking like, oh, like, well, it's going to be more than $100.
Now, was it just the design aspect of it that they would just had to cost that much money? Or was it a...
there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
And then
it's a lot of material too.
Yeah, and when you put the stash pocket in, you got like.
But the time though, like Chad was a shit.
Oh, was like, he still is in my eyes?
Yeah. But like,
watch your tongue, Rob.
I'm just saying. Kids were like $100. Yeah, sure. Chad Muska, not a problem.
Dude, fulfill the dream when that came out, and he was wearing these. Like,
yeah.
Everybody was wearing
them. You know, but still, you come out with a $100 shoe back then, and people are, you know, they're tripping.
Yeah.
They take notice.
That shoe is beautiful. Look at that thing.
Yeah.
Get that thing off your desk, Kelly.
No way. No way.
I want to know about iAsk.
iAsk.
Yeah. You're a member of iAsk. Like, what's iAsk all about? What is it?
So iAsk is like an industry skateboard, like the International Association of Skateboard Companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually originally created by Rick Howard and Paul Schmidt and Chris Miller.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it was at a period of like,
what year was that?
You know, the original, it was probably around that 91, 92 period. Oh, okay. And it was when skateboarding was anarchic because everyone was in it for themselves. And it was like, screw everyone else. It was just like this big, no one was like looking at the bigger picture of bringing everyone together for the betterment of skateboarding.
Yeah. Right.
So Jim Fitzpatrick, who was one of the guys from PAL and the MACAR team from the 60s and great guy, helped pull everyone together to like just trying to make sense, right, of like...
Basically kind of do like a team meeting.
Yeah, like let's get together. And like
a little town hall or something.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. Let's all get together. Like we're all skateboarders. Let's do what's best for skateboarding, right? That was kind of where it started. And then I went to one of their meetings at one point, and then they had somehow like everyone put their hands up, and then they all looked at me, and I was on the board, so I was part of IASC.
Really?
So it's like, but the whole thing is, it's like I completely agree that skateboarding as a whole needs some kind of organization that can help
right.
be the voice of skateboarding, okay. but through
and guide it in some weird way.
And as long as it's legit people,
yeah,
you know,
like guide it and protect it.
But I think while listening to skateboarders, though,
yeah,
right,
100%, yeah,
100%. It's all about the skateboarders.
If there was guys just controlling the, you know, like skateboarding, you know, like in the Olympics and stuff.
Yeah.
Who's making this decision? Like, who's making it the decision to bring skateboarding into the Olympics? You know, nobody asked me.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's a good example, yeah. right? It's like there's these other bigger entities outside of like us as individual brands.
Uh-huh.
The things that happen, and they need some kind of a voice or someone that can give that...
direction.
Yeah, and their opinion. So it's like things like trade shows. Trade shows is really where it came out, because trade shows would be all the companies would come together and be paying for all these booths or whatever. But then it's like, there was like, these guys are a very powerful organization. So it's just like, you need a trade association to help kind of negotiate kind of things for the industry. Otherwise you just
get
ripped off.
In some weird way.
Yeah.
Almost like a union.
Yeah. I was going to say like a union. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Kind of. Right. But it's not like, but, and then there's the Olympic side of things. So we don't, IASC doesn't, like, so I'm chairman of the board of IASC. But it's, and we have a whole crew of the board members, and Thomas Barker is the executive director, and he's doing a great job at bringing everyone together. Yeah. So then we have like Bod Boyle and Glenn Brummage and...
Don, I would love to, man. Thank you so much. Should, yeah. I would love to, man. I'd be honored.
But I would love to,
you know.
But it's just rather like seeing, like, it's... We all put our hats, like brand hats aside when we go to these meetings. You know, it's like I'm with Steve Van Doren, but all these people that we just love skateboarding, do you know what I mean? It's like, how do we all just throw away the brand thing and then just look at like...
And help skateboarding grow.
Help skateboarding.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
And it's something that it's all non-profit. It's all kind of, it's kind of all funded from the brands to just help keep the lights on. But then we have the industry event, like the conference.
Every May.
The summit. Oh. It's where we bring everyone together and we have seminars and just like let people like talk about skateboarding.
I went to the summit 2 years ago or whatever, and it was amazing. I was like blown away like with the people you guys had up there speaking and just like the stuff you guys were talking about and just like how to better skateboarding.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, the main goals of IASC are really to promote skateboarding, educate, like increase participation.
Grow the pond.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just like, just to help elevate, like from a bigger picture, you know what I mean? Because I know people think there's, it's some kind of secret society of like, we're trying to control.
I was going to say, it's kind of like the...
Kids don't know anything about... It's more of an industry insider thing.
Well, listen, I don't even know about it. No. You know, I don't.
But like, IASC is like looking to get health benefits for someone like yourself.
Right, exactly. Right.
Like, they're like,
well, it's very expensive for a company to do that.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Very expensive. And those are the things. It's like trying to find insurance for riders or whatever. Right. It's like the Go Skateboarding Day is a whole thing. So like, how do we increase participation? Yeah. I mean, it's like, how do we educate?
It's almost like the company could pay the rider a little extra for the rider to get health insurance, and that would be cheaper for the company in order to help that guy get health insurance. Am I correct or am I not?
Yeah.
Like that it seems to me like it would cost more for the company as a whole to get all the insurance for everybody.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard for skate companies to pay pros insurance, like their health insurance, whatever? Is it because they're not in the office or?
There's all this weird legal stuff.
Well, as a skateboarder, you're an independent contractor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't officially like work for the company.
Yeah. You're
I'm a
freelancer.
I'm hired help.
Yeah.
Right. So insurance is crazy. It's a crazy thing. I still don't even understand insurance, PPO, HMO, all that, you know. It's
always
crazy.
Go for the PPO, kids.
The thing is, man, like insurance is a double-edged sword, man.
Totally.
I split my chin open. I went to the hospital, 3 stitches. It was like $2,000.
I know. Go to England and see how many crooked teeth you have.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, go there and like.
You got some pretty straight teeth, man.
I know they're all fake.
Are they fake?
Oh fuck yeah!
Look at that.
Are they really?
Yeah, I slammed her in a pogo once.
Oh my god!
No way.
Why? What's the deal with the teeth?
It's, I don't know.
Is it the not enough dentists over there? They don't care? Or what?
It's just English. If you're English, you have fucked up teeth.
But you could fix them, though. You go to the dentist. You get braces. You get
they don't have dental care out there?
They have it, but it's like...
Nobody cares.
No, but it's like all run by the government. So it's like you get your...
You got to go through hoops.
It's somewhat free, but then it's like, I'm gonna find a problem in your teeth. Because I get paid if you do that. So
they do that here in America too.
Teeth are like cars. They could tell you that I need a bogus pump, and I don't know what the hell,
bogus pump.
I need a,
you have an exhaust leak.
Right.
Yeah. That sounds like one of those kind of brands that Zumi should sell, right? Bogus pump.
Done. S needs another brand, right?
Bogus pump.
Bogus pump.
Yeah, Ant needs America, S, and bogus
pump. Imagine the sales reps going around trying to get rid of bogus pumps. That's amazing. Yeah.
This episode is supported by Shake Junt. Yep, the company that keeps you going in these streets. Need that perfect grip for your flick? Bearings that just don't stop? Bolts to keep your trucks on tight? Look no further. ShakeJunt.com has what you need. Grip, bearings, bolts, skateboards, rails, riser pads, grip tape cleaner, t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and everything else in between. Treat yourself and save a couple bucks by entering 9 Club at checkout. Yep, 20% off everything. Just enter 9 Club, NINECLUB, at ShakeJunt.com. Get there while you can.
Whose idea was Go Skateboarding Day?
Are you setting this up or what? So I got voted. Remember, I was in that room or whatever. People in there was like, look around. They're like, oh, yeah, I guess you're a board member, right? So I was like, so I got in there.
Okay.
And then, but I was stoked to be a part of it because I believed in the bigger purpose. But then I was part of the whole marketing committee and whatever. And I was like, hey, let's. It was actually something that I was like, I looked at the calendar one day and I was like, how come there's days for like dogs and like there's a day for like some Jesus guy and
there's a national day for everything. Dog.
There
it's
is
crazy.
Right? And I was like,
every
you know
day what? I turn on my Twitter, it's like National Hot Dog Day.
Yeah. Exactly
like,
right.
When is National Harambe Day?
Every day's National Harambe.
Exactly right. Okay. So then I was like, you know what, skateboarding needs a day. Let's just have a skateboarding day. Wow. And then it was all about. So then, but it was also at the same time that we were down in Costa Mesa, that out the Etnies America and S kind of headquarters, and I was like, it was also a period where like I realized that as we talked about earlier that I transitioned from like being a skateboarder like that every single second of the day was like skate, 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 skate. And I transitioned into this business kind of thing that I still skateboarded, but it was that whole like every second of the day. It's like it wasn't as much like actually the skateboard part.
Yeah.
And it was just like this whole like it's kind of fucked up, but I just transitioned to the business, but I don't get
and
to
how
skate
to stay
as
involved
much.
In skateboarding.
I don't skate as much as I used to, so I said.
So
I
you kind of did Go Skateboarding Day for yourself.
So it's like, yeah, so I get to skate once a year now.
And yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's good enough. But it was. I was like, I realized that all these people, because we were really close to like all these people in the area, like Volcom and like Jim Gray, Ackman. Everyone's like, it was just this whole thing about. We were so busy because everyone was blowing up. And it was like, but actually everyone was so stuck doing whatever you had to do that you didn't have to skate. So I was like.
You guys didn't have a holiday.
How do we get? So I actually sent a fax because it was faxes back then. To like Volcom and like Acme and like Channel One and all these brands. I was like, hey, like, we're going to go skate from Costa Mesa down to like Newport Pier. We're going to grab beers at Mutt Lynch's or whatever. And we're going to skate
you
back.
You were a beer crawl originally.
And it was and I was actually surprised because we actually got like 30 people. And I was like, this is kind of crazy.
Well, how did you know which day? How did you
know that?
A day?
At that point, it was just random.
Oh, it was just random.
And random. Okay. That was where the concept kind of came from. Oh, so it's like, we skated and we came back or whatever. And it was like, it was a great time. Everyone had fun, right? So then from the IA side of things, I was like, proposed that kind of concept of like, let's do a day for skateboarding, go skateboarding day. Yeah. So I said, okay.
So why not pick the longest day of the year?
Exactly. June 21st was like the longest day of the year. So it's like, you could, because what we realize is globally.
Watch out there. The microphone just attacked.
That thing will get you.
Like globally, Jeremy, it's the longest day of the year. So it's like, it's something that it gives more daylight.
Yeah.
For people to go skate. Yes. So June 21st was the day.
Okay.
And then Per Willander and myself.
You guys
was
are
like,
smart over there.
And I wanted to do like the ghost, like the actual, like, I was like, we've got to have a skateboarding day. Right. So it's like, I was saying, we like National Skateboard Day or whatever. Right. And then he was like, no, let's call it, make it more of like an active day. Like, let's go skateboarding day. And, it's like, and then together, it's like, we just made it Go Skateboarding Day.
Just didn't, how did you promote it? You just promoted it through all the companies? You said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Let's go for it.
Yeah. So the
how did you pitch that to like skateboarding?
So it's kind of funny. So the first one, it was just mostly the IAS crew that did it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So at the time, it's like Jeff Kendall and George Powell. Yeah. Wow. So all of those brands, and they were big enough to where it's like we could create some momentum. And we had the.
It was before social media and all that.
Oh, yeah. Before social media. So then we had a barbecue at the Etnies Park in Lake Forest, and it was rad because Steve Van Doren and the whole crew came.
Oh, wow.
And it just showed the solidarity of like skateboarding. It's like, it doesn't matter. We're all one big crew, right? And we're just doing what we love. And it's like, it was rad, like hanging out with Steve Andor and Tony Hawk's there and everyone.
Stories going around and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so that was like 2003. And then as it grew, every year it grew. And then America, so we did The Wild in the Streets.
Oh.
So at the time for America, it was just like, it was something that I always had this vision of like, skateboarders taking over a freeway,
right?
And like just blocking it off because it would be like this crazy thing on the news globally. It's where it's like, wow, there's like thousands of skateboarders on the freeway. It'd be crazy. So that didn't really work out on the freeway. But what happened is Philadelphia. We had America. He's gonna sneeze.
You scared me, man. I was gonna do it all nonchalant.
So Justin Regan, who was like running the America brand at the time, so we created, like, between him and I, we created the event in Philadelphia, the first Wild in the Streets for America, where we got like probably 5,000 to 10,000.
So what was Wild in the Streets? Wild in the Streets was a kind of like a Go Skateboarding Day.
So the Wild in the Streets was something to do on Go Skateboarding Day.
Gotcha.
So the first one is in Philadelphia, and it went nuts. Yeah,
okay,
right. And it was pretty much like a parade.
Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah. It was like 5,000 kids like just cruising the streets.
Were the cops like, what the hell is going? Yeah, you didn't like. I'm sure you didn't tell anybody, right? You didn't tell city council or whatever.
Yeah. So either way, it's like the whole Ghost Given and Day thing was all about like the concept was about as a singular focus.
Yes.
How do we get every skateboarder in the world just focus on one day? And I know there's some purists out there like, fuck, every day is Go Skateboarding.
Yeah, of course.
I get it. Like, I agree.
I probably tweeted that out a couple times.
But it's like, I get it. But it's just like, at the same time, you can't like deny like the beauty of like now.
It just brings awareness.
Down in Brazil, it's like 15,000 people skating through the streets. What kind of impact does that make? It's possible everyone hates skateboarders, but...
Yeah.
It's gnarly, right? Like that power of like just like cruising.
Yeah, it gets to a point where the city governments or whatever, like
they start helping out, right?
Yeah, they start helping out. Like, fuck, these dudes are going to do it anyways. Yeah. Like, we can't fucking stop them.
Yeah, and that's kind of more and more how things are going because they have an obligation to make sure that if there's a certain
the right
group,
to assemble.
Exactly.
Yes.
No. You know you're right.
I took a criminal law class.
Look, I'm so psyched. You just took a criminal law right class. You're so
can I cheers? Let me cheers.
Only amen. You know what I'm saying? Let me unscrew this so I can drink.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
I created the day, I went out to all the magazines like, hey, can you help like do an ad to promote the day? So Thrasher, Transworld.
I can't remember. Page and everything else.
Yeah, so they all like gave us a page to support the day,
rad.
And it was rad. But at the same time, we went to a skateboarder magazine.
Did they send us a bill later?
No, they didn't. But I went at skateboarder magazine. When we went there, like that's also shared by, or it was when they were in business. But they shared their office with Surfer magazine.
Oh.
And surfing and all that stuff. So then suddenly, like the surf guys heard that, like, oh, you're doing a skateboard day.
Oh. So like, they're
gonna do a surf day. So what are these fuckers doing? Like, not say fuckers because I love surfing myself, but it's like
they copy your shit.
But they like,
copied it. Yeah.
So what do? They do a National Surfing Day on June 21st, and I'm
the same day.
Same day. And you're like, and I'm just like, and I called them up, and I'm like, come on, guys. And not only that, they got like Billabong and whoever to sponsor it.
They're like, dude. Dude, it's the longest day of the year, bro. We're going out there, man.
And then they were trying.
Why not change the day to like Go Boarding Day?
Oh my god! But it was funny.
Go Boarding Day.
But it could be snow skate and like. Surf.
No, you can't snowboard.
Hey guys, let's go boarding. You guys want to go
snowboarding?
Snowboarding.
Josh never ceases to amaze me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like one minute he knows everything, and the next minute he's talking about a whole boarding.
Why not though?
Snowboarding in June.
If you ever say, I'm going to go boarding today, when you're talking about skating, you're nuts.
Roger's skating down the street with BMXers and rollerbladers.
Hey, hey.
It's your idea.
My brother was a professional BMXer. You need to chill.
Listen, I have nothing against them. I think it's amazing.
I'm just saying, snow, skate, surf.
Can we have something that's ours?
Exactly.
No. Can we have something that's ours? Yeah. And I feel you on the surf thing.
Is this hilarious?
It's like,
hey, but check it out, right? The more that surf thing became, it's like then the actual core surf crew start getting pissed because they're like, we don't fucking want all these locals
in our water.
All these randoms coming in water.
Yeah.
On one day.
But this is a good example of how skateboarding is like, hey, let's all.
Yeah, we're skating the city. Yeah.
Let's just go fuck shit up, right? And surfers are like, no, we don't want all people surfing our waves.
So
I didn't think about that because everyone has to go to the beach, right? And there's only one wave.
It's just crowded and shit.
Yeah.
It's like going Jaquan, there's like 20,000 people
trying to hit one ledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what, though? I didn't even know it existed. I had no idea.
Okay. Because you don't surf.
But I live by the beach.
Hey, you want to go surf tomorrow?
I've tried surfing one time. It was a disaster.
I know. I heard about it. I tell you on Kook of the Day, I think.
Dude, the one with the guy on the jet ski when he went onto the freaking thing at, what is it, Newport or something?
This guy goes on a Tinder date, right? Rents a jet ski and goes out to the wedge when it's like pumping like 20 foot.
God.
And he's like got this girl on the back. And it just gets slammed by this bigger set, washed up against the rocks.
I wonder if they're still together.
I know. Are you still together with her? That's worth a Google right there, because it's like amazing, right? Wow.
Yeah. How the hell did you manage to get on the freeway?
Get on the freeway?
This guy was fucking skating on the damn freeway. 405. 405?
Oh, 405. Photo of the
so photo. For no skateboard day, you just decided, like, fuck it, I'm going to get on the freeway and skate?
Yeah. So that goes back to
that was real.
It was real.
Okay, 405 traffic, right? There's traffic all the time. Was it a traffic situation?
Oh yeah.
Where did they take the photo from? A overpass?
Yeah, Bear.
Who took the photo?
Bear, Skin Phillips.
Skin.
So wild on the streets, right? So remember what I talked about, like the ghost gaming day, and I wanted to take over the freeway,
right?
And then the whole thing was like, I don't want to risk anyone else's life.
Yeah.
So like I was thinking that I want thousands of people on the freeway.
Right.
So maybe when I die, like I want everyone to go on the freeway. But for now, why I'm alive, I don't want to do that. But it was one of those things that's like, you know what? I realize it's not going to happen. So Wild in the Streets happened on a city level. So then, but for years, I was like, I want to do, like, do you remember the Chinese thing, that Tiananmen Square or whatever, with that one guy?
Well, you want to do something like the tank?
Yeah. For some reason.
You wanted to be that guy.
I didn't want to be that guy, but I was just like, that was like, I saw that image and I was like, that is really
photo.
Bad.
Yeah. It was powerful.
Powerful, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Like a car, like, and it's like a horse doesn't run over a human. They always dodge them or whatever. Yeah, it's like, it's the same thing. It's like, no one's going to want to run over a human.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. So I was like, I'm not going to get 1,000 people on the freeway. I'm just going to do it myself. So one day it's like, so actually, I'd look all the time in LA, everywhere I go, I'd drive, and I'd be like, I want to get a shot where you can shoot the picture of the skateboard, of myself or whatever, skateboarding, but I want to see on the other side of the freeway, like, where you are.
Okay.
So it has to be, like, there's visible signs of, like, because it has to be,
if people... Crunch Boulevard or whatever.
Yeah, if people can't tell where you are, it's, like, kind of whatever, right?
Yeah.
So it's, like, I drive all the time. I'd be in LA. I'd be, like, looking for places, like, where can you do this? Where can you shoot down? And then, of course, the one exit that I exit every single day of my life was the fucking exit.
Which exit? Where was it?
It's actually the Bear Bridge, like, right there, right by South Coast Plaza.
Oh,
in Costa Mesa.
Wow.
So I had this whole, I actually still have it at home somewhere, like the PowerPoint. So I put this whole presentation together so that like everyone's clear, because this is a pretty gnarly project.
Wait, so you
had a plan.
I knew that I, like what I wanted to do and what I wanted to get visually. Yes. So basically I hit all these people. I was like, hey, can you help me out right now?
Right.
And they're like, so I ended
can
up getting.
Can you drive on the 405 and slow down?
Yeah. So I got 15 people. And, we got walkie talkies.
Oh.
And we all went single file onto the freeway.
Uh-huh.
And
took over every lane.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, right? So the first time we did it, one of the guys that was in the front row was driving a black Impala, and he was like Mexican guy, like with an overgrown beard, and he was like in the front, and everyone's right behind him. And on a Friday, the police like just saw him and they just like, they're like, you're a drunk fucking like, because he was driving like trying to keep everyone in line, right? So they pulled him over. So the police pulled him over and we were like, abandon. So So then we all had to regroup and then we went back on. And then there was like, to get back on the freeway, we're like underplanned it again because there was like, you know, the red lights to get on the freeway.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So there was three of them. And it was like becoming like rush hour. So I was fuck. So it was like, so then we all had to run the lights.
Okay.
So it's like, it became like Ocean's 11. It's like, it's crazy. So then it was like, everyone's running the red lights.
Yeah.
And then we all got in the single line, 15 cars. And then it was like a domino to where it's just like, okay, so we got in the line. There's like one, and then it's like two, three. And we took over all the lanes.
Yeah.
And then we were like, had the walkie talkies. Right. And we're just like, okay, from like 80, 70, 60, 50, and we
slowly traffic.
Yeah, because we knew if we did it too fast.
You're like a rolling roadblock in a way.
Yeah, because there's always going to be shit happens on the freeway, right? Yeah. To where people have to put the brake light. Everyone kind of expects brake lights.
Behind you could hear cars slamming into each other if you get too quick, right?
No? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, were you in the cars or whatever, and then like finally you came to a stop and just got on and skated?
Yeah, so I had a point where there was one of the signs on the other side where I was like, okay, everyone has to stop right here.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out and skate. The original plan was I was actually going to skate down Bristol on ramp.
Yeah. Oh.
And would, then actually just join it. But it was like
take too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just too much, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit of complicated. But in my mind, I was like Tiananmen Square. Like, it's people aren't going to hit me. So I got out of the car, skated down or whatever. Yeah. And then... it's really weird because the underneath the bridge, there was like I just got to like just run up the bridge, and then there was actually like already like someone had ripped like the hole in the fence, so I got to run through there.
Why didn't you just get back in the car?
Because I didn't want to be part of it. They might get arrested.
Okay.
Fuck that.
I'm out of here.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay. So I had a t-shirt, so I ripped the t-shirt, all that stuff in the bushes, and then skid, and then we like skid.
Take your costume off.
Yeah, and then I like skid, met down at the brewery.
Wow. had a beer.
Lots of beer.
Wow.
But that photo is epic.
It is.
It's like legendary.
I didn't know it was that planned out.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was just a
random. I thought you
just
like got on the street. And...
Well, I didn't even know it was you to begin with.
Yeah. Last year, like there was that whole like Instagram skating the freeway thing.
Oh, yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe everybody's seen that photo, but I feel like it didn't go viral as it should have.
There's a little clip on YouTube, 405 skateboarder.
Oh, there, like, somebody filmed it too.
Yeah,
it was viral as it could get back then.
Back then,
you know,
right. I mean, maybe we started
like
a movement.
But you know, it's I get tagged in with it. It's like it was like the YOLO fucking best.
Now, when
clip,
you did
right?
it, were you trying to keep it a secret that it was you?
At or, first, yeah.
You were trying to keep first, it because like, it could get in trouble.
But you know, the funniest thing about that whole thing is that the picture came out like skin, like just nailed it. That every time I ever see it posted, people comment on a Supra. There's a Supra in the picture. They just love that car. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Supra.
There's a Supra.
I'm going to post it, and all I'm going to say is sick Supra. I'm going to do it.
It's crazy. I'm always like, what the fuck's up with the Supra? But it's like, it's the car, right?
I think it's more of a sleeker car, right?
It's more like Garden Grove.
Like a little race car or something.
We should call Daniel Espinoza.
Yeah, he would know for sure.
Yeah,
I've learned a lot tonight, man. This is great.
I think we should do a tough guy shot.
Yeah, I think we should do shots.
What's a tough guy shot?
Tough guy shot is something that was actually originated, like, I had never seen it before, and I've seen a few other randoms out there do it.
Fill me in. What do we got?
But it's basically like, it's just a basic, easy tequila shot.
Okay.
Really.
Would you let me, maybe I'll do one with you. What do we do? Maybe I'll do one with you.
You snort a little salt, shoot a little tequila.
Okay.
Like squeeze some lime in your eyes, you know?
Yeah, I won't be doing that with you guys, no. No, but how often do you do this tough guy shot? Is this a whole thing, or is it just...
I've done way too many, I know that one.
Really?
I think my, like, what's that like, layer on your eyes?
The cataracts or something?
Well,
I don't know.
No, it probably burns the cataracts out, but...
If I squirted a lime in my eye, I'd feel like I'd go blind.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go blind for a little bit? What's it... Who the hell made this up?
Every single person at Soltec has done.
Oh, they do it?
Everyone at Etnies, America, and S, 32, Altamont, has done a tough guy shot.
Oh,
everyone.
Wow. Would you do one right now if you...
I would, for sure.
We'll do one right now if we had all the...
Do we have tequila?
Roger
do we have every... Do we have...
If Roger does one.
Kelly, should I go look around?
Kelly, you have tequila here?
Let me look.
Do we have a tequila and a lime and stuff?
Kelly's going to do one too, right?
Oh, he's got... Look at this. He's got lime and everything. Yeah, you could bring it over here, Kelly. He's got a whole thing.
Dude, Kelly's a
wow. Look at that.
I just kind of had this laying around.
Well, you guys drink a lot, so I don't.
That's
I don't,
amazing.
Yeah.
You guys drink a lot.
Oh, and here's the salt.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
That's ingredients for a tough guy shot.
Look at that.
You know, you didn't drink, right?
No. Well, no, I drink my San Pellegrino. I'll do a tough guy San Pellegrino shot.
That's got
minus a snorting and a squirting.
I'm going to cut the ends off. You know it's got GMO in that Pellegrino stuff, right?
I love GMO. I love MSG, GMO. I love all that stuff.
GMO.
Yeah. Okay, so you're cutting the lime.
Did you know that that's why English are called limeys? Because they used to have all the limes on the boat for the vitamin C because they used to get scurvy.
Really?
Yeah, because we're on the boats.
I'm half English, and I've been called limey before, and like, I had no idea where that was from.
Yeah, it's because the sailors used to like be on the sea for so long, they didn't have any vitamin C, which created scurvy.
Oh. Yeah. So you got the tequila, you got the shot glasses. Yeah. So now he's pouring the shots. That's a big shot there. He's almost overflowing.
Hey, Kelly, we got you a shot over here, so you got to do one either way.
I'll take the shot, but I'm not. I'll skip the snorting and squirting. Like I said.
Yeah. So what about, don't you have to cut a line with the salt?
Well, that's the lime.
Cut a line.
Show me how to do it.
Oh, you snorted off your...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Fuck. He poured half the salt onto his hand. This is amazing.
It's okay. We can vacuum that up.
Yeah, he's going to vacuum. Yeah. So here we go. You're going to snort the salt.
Yes.
Take the shot and squirt... How do you, you're going to open your eye?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Wait, do you cheers at the same time and do it? Or do you, like individually do it?
Well, it's kind of weird. I've never done it by myself without like.
Right. So you need a partner.
Oh, you need a partner.
Yeah, I need a partner.
Now, does the salt burn?
It's a lot of salt.
When you snort it?
No, if you're a man. Hey, Kelly, are you coming up to the shot? Are you just going to hang out there?
I'll take the shot. I'm
okay, you just got the least fullest one out of all of them. Can't believe that.
Have you ever done this, Raj?
I've never done this.
You've never done it? Yeah.
I've seen people do it, though, before.
You're actually going to squirt? Okay.
It looks
Don't squirt. Don't get any of that fucking shit in my eye, all right? I actually value my body parts.
I've seen people do this, and I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, you're,
And now I'm about to do it.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
But you got to, like, snort, then drink.
And then squirt?
Then squirt.
Yeah. Oh. Right.
Shit.
Are we good right
there
now?
I'm sorry, proper procedure
for this one.
Yeah,
yes.
Proper procedure.
Noob.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
Ready? Should I count you down or what should we do? Should we do a little...
I think we should have a cheers to the nightclub.
Oh, yeah. Do a little cheers.
Can we have a cheers to the nightclub? Cheers. Cheers, Chris.
Oh, let me unscrew my cap.
Oh, cheers. You say that. Cheers, Kelly.
Now, do you have to like hold a nostril and do it? Or?
No, just like...
Okay. Oh, my God. This fucking guy, he's taking this shot. He's squirting in his eye. Look at his dog. He's fucking...
That sucks. Oh, that sucks.
Oh,
Raj, you should have seen the amount of
he went in. I know, but like I have like
he poured in his eyeball.
I can feel the salt crystals in my fucking nostrils right now.
No.
It feels gnarly.
Don, are you all right? He squeezed the whole lime in his eye.
I know. I saw it.
Who is that?
How could you see it if you got lime in your eye?
I put it in my left eye because like I usually film in my right eye. Oh, I knew like I could fucking cheers.
Jesus, Don, look at you. You all right? Your eyes are bloodshot, man. Like, if you get pulled over tonight, just tell him that you squirted lime in your eye. Raj, don't snort. What are you doing?
Fuck.
Get the fuck. Kelly, we grab a napkin or something. This is fucking disgusting. Roger's doing atomic fires on the goddamn table.
Dude, my left nostril is fucking dying now.
We gotta blow it on the table like that? Jesus Christ.
I can feel the crystal of the salt in your nostril.
Hey, you're the one who wanted to do this stupid fucking shot. Johnny, you all right? You're crying. Are you all right? How does that feel?
I'm never doing that again.
If you could see the look on his face
now. I just got happened by the wedge.
Describe what the... Okay, hold on. I'll let him finish blowing his nose.
The salt in the nose is the worst thing.
It is.
It's worse. Look at your eyeball.
Well, the lime is not bad. It's the salt in the nose. It's fucking terrible.
Look at your eyeball. Your eyeball.
Why is this the thing? Oh, wait, whose eyes were both your eyes completely open?
You should have seen Don squeeze the whole lemon in his eye like he was putting Visine drops in his eyeball. Okay, that's what he was doing. Don, are you all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's crazy. I've never done drugs before.
No? But you love that, don't you?
I smoked a little weed, but it doesn't do anything.
Now, how do you...
Wow. That was aggressive.
Roger. Roger's ODing on salt right now.
Look at that. I got shit like dripping all over me.
How does it feel, Don, right now? Your eyes. Is he all right? Yeah. Is it blurry? Does it sting? What's the...
It's kind of like normal.
Yeah. Bullshit. Look at Raj.
I don't feel tough at all.
No, yeah. Yeah.
I'll never do that again. That was a bad idea.
Come on. Never. I guarantee you'll do it again.
Maybe on a drunken Tuesday.
I've done it over 100 times.
Yeah.
And I can't believe Mike called it. Like, I guarantee you, whoever the hell created us human beings didn't want them to squeeze a fucking lime in their eyes.
The lime in the eye wasn't bad. It was a fucking salt in the nose.
Yeah, the salt. Chris is like, what the fuck is going on right now? Where am I right now?
I feel sorry for the people listening to this.
I feel like we're getting closer and closer to being the Howard Stern show over here.
It is,
Jesus
right?
Christ. Man, you guys are troopers. You know that?
We man up.
I wouldn't do it. Kelly wouldn't do it. Eric wouldn't do it.
No.
Basil wouldn't do it. Look at him standing up over there. Sure.
Can I pick him up?
Yeah.
Of course, bro.
Go pick him up.
Go get him.
Don's going to chase him around the house right now. Watch. Yeah.
Don's going to grab the
I think
right
Don's
now.
A little drunk.
No.
Yeah, he's a little stunned right now.
Yeah. Cradle his butt. He'll be all right.
Everybody loves the goddamn rabbit, man. Yeah. You know? This whole show has gone to shit. But I love it. I love it. I love it, actually. I love it. Dude, Roger's eye is about to come out of his head. I don't know if you guys saw, like, the Walking Dead when they busted Glenn over the head and his eye popped out. It's kind of what Roger's eye looks like right now. It's really popping out.
It's
really popping out and it's red. Yeah. Raj, you might need to go to urgent care for your eye. You might want to wash it out with your beer. Seriously. Oh, there you go.
I've never seen that. You could just cancel this whole thing if
I think
you
we're
want
going to.
To say,
yeah. I think, yeah.
You don't want a freestyle on this show.
We do. His name is Rodney Mullen.
Exactly, that guy.
Well, dude, thanks for introducing us to the
Tough Guy Shot.
The Tough Guy Shot, yeah, thank you. We take no responsibility for anybody trying to repeat this. Don't try that at home, kids.
No, seriously, do not do it.
Well, Don, listen. Keep freestyling, all right? Keep us alive.
S will never die.
Keep the Tough Guy Shot going. It's amazing, man. I've never seen anything so stupid in my life, but it was great. It was great.
Very entertaining.
It was great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I loved it.
It's like years of stupidity.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What's your name again?